Hello, and welcome to the Healing Challenge 2022. I am Dr. Rosina Bakari, here with my co-host, Dr. Stephanie Singleton. We are excited to talk to you today.
Yes, indeed. Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining. Share. Okay, let everybody know that Healing Challenge 2022 is on. All right, so today we have a very, very deep topic. So everybody get ready. By this time, if you don't know to have your pen and paper, I just don't know what to tell you. But today we are dealing with how to reparent your inner child. And of course, we are doing this with our resident expert, empowerment expert, and healing expert, Dr. Rosina Bakari. So without further ado, let's get into it. Dr. Bakari, this is really a really intense chapter, but a real important chapter about reparenting our inner child. Why is the inner child so crucial to our healing as adults? I mean, we're adults now. So why is that crucial?
Right. So that's important. You say we're adults now. What's interesting is that the now part is exactly why it's important, because when you say we're adults now, we're going to start over because I got to get somebody. Yeah, it's this evening and I will be beeping like a fool. Let me try to cut off as much as I can while we are just getting started. What else can I take off here? I'm going to take that off. What else? Turn off every beep I can.
I know that's the truth.
I'm going to quit you. Close you out. Okay, what else? Don't need that. I'll turn this on airplane mode.
Oh, yeah.
I can't stand all these beeps.
Yeah,
I can't stand it. Okay, I figure while we're still in the beginning, let's do it now. Okay, and I'll put my microphone in front of me, but I don't want that to be seen. So, can you hear me pretty good?
Oh yeah.
Okay. Hello. Welcome to the Healing Challenge 2022. Always glad to greet you. I am Dr. Rosina Bakari, your favorite empowerment expert, here with my fantabulous co-host, Dr. Stephanie Singleton, and we are always excited to greet you.
Yes, we are. Thank you for joining, everyone, and spread the love. Share to all your friends and even some of your enemies. Why not? Because the Healing Challenge 2022 is on. Okay, get that word out there.
And we're preparing for Healing Challenge 2023, but we'll talk a little bit about that at the end.
Exactly. And today, everyone, strap yourself in. This is a deep one. Have your pen and paper, which you should already know to have that, because we're going to jump right in. Today's topic we're dealing with is how to reparent your inner child. Without further ado, let's just get into it, Dr. Bakari.
All right.
Why is the inner child so crucial to our healing as adults, right? Because, I mean, we're grown at this point. We're adults. So why is that crucial?
Well, what's interesting is that you talk about, you emphasize that we're adults now. That's why. So what happens when we are children, there are requirements for caring for young children so that they become optimal adults, emotionally mature. What happens though is that when we do not get adequate care, then we become adult-like as children. So instead of growing into adulthood, we prematurely leave so many aspects of childhood and take on these characteristics of adulthood, at early ages, so we don't get to develop. So when you say we're adults now, the reason why the inner child is so important is because many of us have been adults all our lives, or most of our lives. So some of those characteristics may be, for example, looking out for adults. As a 4-year-old, a 8-year-old, a 12-year-old, you're looking out for someone else. Sometimes you're looking out for your younger siblings at 4. We've seen that. Sometimes you're looking out for the adults who really should be looking out for you. Sometimes you are configuring your own notions of safety because you're not safe where you are. There's danger around you and in your environment. So you have to configure some sense of safety for yourself. Sometimes you have to feed yourself. Sometimes you have to figure out your own sense of belonging because the care and nurturing that you should receive is not available to you. And so you as a young person has to figure out how to do these adult things while you're young. When you do that, you continue this path. So because you have been acting like an adult for so long, when you become an adult, because you have not had a transition into life going from one phase to another or one stage to another, so you keep implementing these adult-like behaviors, oftentimes in childlike manners. And so oftentimes we don't know or don't recognize that we are acting childlike as we employ adult behaviors. And if we don't go back and reconcile that inner child and sort of reparent that inner child so they can grow up, so to speak, then we oftentimes sort of remain like segmented or fragmented from ourselves, trying to ignore the vulnerabilities of the inner child, because that's what we always had to do to survive.
Well, I know a lot of people will be rewinding that part and rewinding and rewinding, because that was a lot that was said there. And I like that word adult-like. Mm-hmm. When you were talking, it made me think about arrested development. So is that what we're talking about?
That is what we're talking about. That is definitely what we're talking about. And so if you've had that all your life, you don't grow into a sense of, oh, I'm changing, I'm shifting. Some things are different. You just keep doing what you've done to survive.
Ooh, that is because that is the truth. A whole lot of us have been adults at like 4 and 5. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I can see that. Yeah, there's just no, there hasn't been any transition into all these different stages. You're just going by what you know or think you know anyway.
Right. And that's why we call it development. Development has the connotation that there's some shifts. And there are some qualitative shifts, not just we get bigger and stronger, but there are some qualitative shifts in how we perceive the world and how we perceive ourselves and how we perceive others. It's supposed to develop over time. But when you have to do those things at a young age, you skip the development part. And when you skip the development part, it's like you're too early here and too late there. Right? Because you miss the stages, the phases. You just keep acting the way you've already always acted for survival.
Mm. Wow. This is making a whole lot of sense. I'm just going through, something aspects of my life. I'm like, that's mind blower. Thank you so much. In that chapter, you say that the inner child has a place in our adult lives. And I remember when I was reading that, I was thinking, okay, so how do we get to that place? And Yeah, like how do we do that? Because so many of us are not even aware, right? Because we're talking about arrested development on some levels, right? So some of us are not even aware. And so many more of us have messed our whole life just like trying to suppress that inner child. So yeah.
How do we get there? That's the $60,000 question. How do we get there? How we get there depends on the individual and what your experience has been. Sometimes, interestingly, it's not even a matter of how we get there, because some of us, and even in our childhood, what we find is we find ways to have to develop this interdependence for survival. Some of us never leave there. So that's the other aspect of survival, right? And so some of us survive by maintaining this sense of childhood. And so going is not so much a find your inner child, it's like find your adult child and then put them together, right? And then for others of us, it's we've become some stoic adults and we have to go find an inner child. So it's different for everyone. How do you find it? It depends. I know that's not the answer that anyone can sink their teeth into, but you have to look at your life individually and see what's getting in your way. So how do you get there with truth? I'll say that. That's the simplest answer. What your truth is, though, is very different from what my truth is. But how do you get there? You get there with truth. Truth about what your experiences have been, truth about what's getting in your way now, truth about who are the people around you and how do they influence your inner peace as well as your external satisfaction. So you have to begin to look at the world in truth, not in how you want it to be, how you believe it should be, how it used to be, but look at your world and then come to terms with how things are, what are they, and how do they get to be that way? But you have to look at it in truth. And many of us only look at the world from a perspective of how we want it to be, and we get stuck in want or lack. So that's not an answer anybody's heart is going to settle on. But it's really the answer.
Yeah, it is what it is. And, you know, I like what you said there. It's different for everybody. Everybody's journey is different. You know, that's why we're on this. It's really, and you've talked about it numerous times over the course of this year, you know, about awareness.
Yeah.
Becoming aware. So,
yeah,
that's it. It's not a one answer, quick, one size fit all, you know, it's the work.
Yeah.
In the book, in this chapter, you mentioned several characteristics that people need in their lives to be healthy in terms of a child. Like a child needs predictability, reliability, and consistency, those things are crucial now in reparenting our inner child. So can you talk more about predictability, reliability, and consistency? Can you talk more about how that plays into our reparenting?
Yes. So we talked about earlier what those characteristics are that children need in their lives to become optimal adults. Those are the characteristics. No matter what you put in, when you put in the good stuff, it's not enough to be a good caregiver once a month or the good caregiver who has great, magnificent Christmases every year, but then the rest of the year, the child doesn't know where the parent is or when they're coming in or it's more erratic than that. And so consistency, predictability, and reliability are crucial to a child going through development and avoiding that arrested development or having to survive emotional neglect or something along those lines. And so a child has to know that they feel safe, that they feel loved and cared for, and that they fit in somewhere. And they have to feel that on a consistent basis, right? Again, not sometimes. Or like, so for example, we see a disruption in consistency when children who have parents who live in two different households. So sometimes we see this consistent, and they may both do their very best. Nobody's abusing anybody or anything like that. Both parents may do their best, but the rules are very different. How mom shows care is very different than how dad shows care, right? And so the kid is constantly shifting from this out every weekend or whatever. So even though they're getting some good stuff, they're not getting what they're getting on a consistent basis. And that could really disrupt a child. So then a child's like, oh, adult, like, I have to be structured. I have to figure out A, B, C. So that child is negotiating in ways that other five-year-olds are not negotiating the world, right? They just live in one household and everything is figured out for them, which is good for optimal development, right? So while this five-year-old may be better at, when they get adults, they may ultimately be better at organization and shifting and blah, blah, blah. So there's going to be some good qualities come out like that, come out of them, but it's not necessarily going to be quality mental wellness. It may make them great mathematicians, but not necessarily happy ones. Right. And so this is oftentimes what you see when why people get so confused as to how these people could be so successful and so unhappy at the same time, because the same characteristics that breed success in people are oftentimes connected to that which make adults so unfulfilled, because there's something that was missing their optimal development. They didn't go back and heal that inner child because they assume that all this good adult things that they created in their lives would compensate for the absence of what wasn't there in childhood. So that's consistency. Same thing with predictability and reliability. They could have both parents in the home, but they're not reliable. So those things could be messed up in a variety of ways. And again, I really want people to understand, because people feel like if they were not abused, then they're okay. This doesn't always happen intentionally or through intentional abuse. This can also happen, for example, if someone has a sibling who is physically or emotionally challenged, someone who has a sibling who has a disability that keeps them hospitalized a lot, for example, then that's not a bad parent. That's a parent doing what they need to do. But in doing what they need to do, the healthy child may get ignored a lot or may have to learn how to fend for themselves. A child may come from a family where one of the parents has an addiction problem. Well, one parent gives them a lot of love, but they have this up. So there's just so many scenarios where people have to stop thinking that if they were not hit, beat, or molested, sexually molested, that they're okay. That could be the case. That should be the case. But research tells us really only about 36% of people get through childhood unscathed, right?
Wow. Only 36%?
Only 36%. Wow. And kudos to them, and great job for those parents. But some of us, so this is not about us falling apart. The healing challenge is intended to help adults live their best life, not just a pain-free life. I want people to live their best life where they are having the highest emotional achievement, where they enjoy waking up in the morning and they feel peace going to bed at night. They feel like they are rocking their career or at least feel confident in it. They can get a partner and maintain healthy quality relationships. I want them to have wellness on all seven major aspects of life, not just one. And too often we find this thing that we cling to say, oh, we're okay, instead of really exploring what is our healing journey really about? What are the areas that I can become my best self in? Because most adults end up with arrested development. We're great at careers, but we can't keep friendships. You know, we have a whole lot of friends, but our job sucks and drive us crazy. Like, how do you learn to put all that together? It is, and not that on a day-to-day basis, everything is perfect, but that we know how to bring into our lives things that bring us joy and know how to be happy with them when they come into our lives.
Mm. Ooh, y'all gonna be rewinding and rewinding and rewinding, because that was something. You always something, you know. I'm so grateful for you, Dr. Bacard. But you know, you brought up two things that was real, that I felt like really resonated for a lot of people that I know. This whole idea, we just think a lot of times that people who have gone through traumas, and I'm so glad you brought up that it's not just, you know, being molested or, you know, being abused in some other way or whatever, and that, you know, if you haven't had that, it's all good. So I'm really glad for you identifying that. And the other thing about people being successful, a lot of times people think, well, if somebody's really been through some trauma, like they're going to be a basket case, they're going to be falling apart, you know, and they just can't get their lives together. But you say something in the November chapter about how success, and you touched on this earlier, you know, how we can really distract ourselves from our inner child, from our healing by being successful. Like that's the drug, so to speak.
Right. Success can be a self-regulator for many, many people, even who have experienced trauma. So again, at early ages, if you have to figure out how to navigate environments so that you can survive as a child, so that you can figure out what it feels like to be safe in this space, I have to navigate and read people real well. For example, one of the skills I might develop is how to read people. Someone walk in a room and I can read how safe that I am with that person. I can sort of have to forward think for that person. I can attune to people really quickly. Then that becomes a survival skill for me that could take me far. Maybe I become a comedian, and I think many comedians have spoken to this before. Maybe my way of survival is to make people laugh and then they leave me alone. Well, that could make you a lot of money. Maybe my way is just to be the smartest one in the room so that no one picks on me, or so that I know that one day I can go to college and make a good living and then I'll be okay. So some of the survival skills that we pick up can end up being our superpower, right? So not all survival techniques are dysfunctional, right? They could be functional. Some of them are very functional until they become dysfunctional, right? And so what works in our ability to get a good job may not work the same in getting in a relationship. Being very structured and organized and knowing where everything is might make you a really good administrator, supervisor. You can lay it all out. You can plan it all out. But that's probably not what a partner wants. Or you have to find a very specific partner to do, you know, who wants that sort of stuff. Or in friendships, or do you may be great at leading, but you may suck at following. Right. And so, right. And vice versa. Yeah. Right. And so when you heal, it doesn't get rid of your strength. You still have your strengths, but you are you have enough awareness to know that they don't work in every environment. You don't use a hammer on everything, you know, and so you learn to be more versatile and have more mental flexibility to navigate the world. But yes, many, many, remember I said only 36% of people get through childhood. But when you look at all the CEOs and all the doctors and lawyers and all, and put all those people together, that's more than 36%. A lot of them have gotten there, and we've heard the stories. We've seen the stories that that successful people are not, by any stretch of the imagination, immune to dysfunction at all.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. So in say I'm healing my inner child. So, and I would need to be reliable to that inner child. I need to provide consistency and reliability. So
So you're trying to give yourself what you did not have. Because sometimes what happens is in a process of survival, we mimic what was in our environment. And so when we're reparenting, we have to make sure that our word is bond with ourselves. What does that mean? When I create boundaries, I also have to keep them. What does that mean? That means that I can predict for myself how well I'm going to do, right? I don't start things and then get in the middle and go, no, I'm not doing that. You know, the start, stop, because you're not good at predicting where you're going. So we have to be able to predict. We have to be consistent with ourselves, you know, and giving ourselves, reparenting ourselves in the way that we may not have been parented as a child.
Okay. So that clears that up. Especially I even struggle with commitment to my, like keeping a commitment to myself. So, you know, I can work on that. I'm sure a whole lot of us have some stuff we could work on.
Right. So, and here's the thing about commitments, right? Let me just say this. Cause lot of times people struggle with keeping commitments, and the secret is that's really not what people's problem is. People's real problem is they shouldn't keep making commitments.
This is true. Yeah.
The commitments you break are often the commitments you should never have made in the first place. But what comes into play? Or is this something that you've had to deal with as a child? Broken commitments, the lack of consistency, lack of reliability, lack of predictability. So that feels normal to you, right? Promises, commitments, overextending yourself, and then saying, oh, no, I'm too tired. Oh, I really don't want to do that. But when you connect with that inner child and begin to heal that inner child, you learn that no is a reasonable answer for a lot of things. And so you don't make all those commitments. That's how you stop breaking commitments. Is that you make much fewer commitments and then you break fewer commitments.
I love it. I love it. It just, sometimes some things are so simple and we make it so complicated, right? Dr. McCarr, it's always so good having these conversations with you. Because we're running out of time here, but I did want to get to this question of trauma bonding, because you talk about trauma bonding in this chapter. If you could explain more about what trauma bonding is and how that's related to healing our inner child.
Yeah, so if there has been trauma in childhood, and again, that's not the only way that we end up with some malfunctions or dysfunctional patterns in adulthood, but particularly when there is trauma, and no matter what that ends up being looking like for us as adults, oftentimes we will attract someone else who has trauma, especially if they have the same trauma. So people who are physically abused, you know, they find out someone else was physically abused and they make assumptions about compatibility. People who were sexually abused find other people who were sexually abused and they make assumptions about compatibility. Now, we just talked about how individualized all this stuff is, right? So even if we were both sexually abused, does not mean we have a whole lot in common beyond being sexually abused, right? There's a lot of variance in being sexually abused, was it your brother or was it the pastor? You know, were you 12 or were you two? Were you? So there's so many other variances that the only thing that we really have in common is that we both have open wounds. Right. And if we both have open wounds and that is what is drawing us to ourselves, our compatibility is based on trauma. You're trying to get something from me and I'm trying to get something from you based on trauma. That's what we call a trauma bond. What's wrong with the trauma bond? So after we've told our stories and we've consoled one another, then some assumptions come into play. One, the assumption is that because you understand my trauma, you will treat me according to my wounds. That's the first mistake we make. People never treat you according to your wounds. People treat you according to their wounds.
Oh, wait a minute. You have to repeat that. Say that again. Somebody in the back need to hear that one. Say that again, Dr. Paul. Yes, indeed.
We frequently find ourselves disappointed when we disclose and build friendships based on disclosure of our trauma. That's what we call trauma bonding. And then we frequently are disappointed because the expectation we have is that someone will treat us according to our trauma. If they know this is our trauma, they will treat us gently according to our trauma. But in reality, people never treat you according to your trauma, no matter how much you explain to them. People treat you according to their trauma, not your trauma. How people treat you is a reflection of who they are, not a reflection of who you are. So it doesn't matter how much you disclose. This is the number one mistake I see that survivors make. We cling to this idea of disclosure, like we walk through the world looking for people that we believe is worthy of our secrets. And when we find someone, we lay all kind of heavy expectations on them that comes with the disclosure of our pain. That the other person have no idea what we are doing. So when we lay these expectations on them, they are just as surprised. Even if you tell them, they don't even know or get it. And so we have to understand that. And so that's the number one problem that we have when we trauma bond. When we trauma bond, it comes with a lot of trauma bonding expectations that are rarely met, rarely met. The other part about trauma bonding is that when you trauma bond, the way that relationship lasts the longest is if you both stay in a state of trauma. That's the real problem. Otherwise, one person outgrows the relationship. It is rare. It's not impossible, but it is rare that two traumatized people grow at the same rate. Unlikely. So in order to maintain that trauma bond, both people have to maintain their trauma. Otherwise, they grow away from each other, and that creates conflict. Mm-hmm. Oh, you still storytelling? Oh, you still high conflict? Oh, you still codependent? Oh, you still, right? You cling to those things, and that's the agreement that you make in trauma bonding, and that becomes problematic.
Mm. Ooh, You know, okay, this is the question that I have. Can we trauma bond with not just a person, but with situations?
We do it with, and expand on your question, but I'll give you an example. Many, many therapists, counselors, psychologists, we do it all the time. We call it counter dependence. We give it some fancy name as if it's okay. You see counselors who don't want to let their clients go, right? And that's problematic. You see us do it in organizations that are full of trauma, and it's always full of conflict. Everybody's always got to be seen. Nobody wants to compromise, but it satisfies our trauma. We're always trying to fix something or fix people in an organization. We do it there. We see teachers do it in the classroom with students. So yes, absolutely, we can trauma bond.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering about that because I think about so many people who are in jobs that really trigger them. You know, when you talk about there's not a lot of reliability or there's not a lot of predictability. Every time you go in, it's something different, and then next week is something else. You know, so that's what made me think of that question. It's like, okay, us as our wounds and not healing that in the child, does that make us automatically gravitate to those, not just only those people, but to certain situations?
Got you. Yes, it can. And that's a very good point. It can. And especially when you see people go from situation to situation like didn't you just leave that job? Oh, didn't you just leave three jobs like that? And so you're right, we have to ask ourselves the same question. What is it that we are doing in those job interviews that's attracting? Yeah, this is the one that's going to put up with this. Yes, this is the one who's like us and is in these environments. And so, yeah, that's a super good point. Thank you for raising that issue. Absolutely. Anytime we find ourselves unhappy again and again and again, we have to look at it. We have to look at it. Because wherever you go, there you are. Yeah, so if you're the common denominator five times.
It's time to do some serious soul search at that point, right?
I'm just saying, come see me. You the common denominator. It's time for you to make an appointment with Dr. Picard.
Definitely. Definitely. Yes, you will get them squared away with that. Dr. Picard. Thank you so much. This has just been, all our conversations are just so helpful, but you know, you can just really see your passion and your dedication to really empowering people and helping people heal. And I appreciate you so much for that. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you. And I'm excited. We're in the process of planning for Healing Challenge 2023. So people will decide if they want to stay on for another year. But certainly we want new people to engage in this and keep spreading the word, because we are out, like you said, to empower people and to get quality information about well-being into people's hands and into people's heads and into people's experiences. So this is a very people accepting platform that we want to continuously offer to people, because it's so affordable and so reasonable, and it's just not a lot of things. And of course, people will get to hold 12 live seminars for a low cost. So yeah, it's that time again.
Yes, indeed it is. And don't miss out on 2023. And don't, you know, go back, play everything for 2022. So you really ready to get into 2023. So yes, indeed, as always, thank you so much, Dr. Picard. Thank you all for joining us. We appreciate every last one of you. Don't forget to drop us a line. Go to healingchallenge2022.com. Go to rosinabakari.com. Hey, she loves to hear your feedback. We love to hear your feedback. So please do that. And thank you so much. We will see you again in December. Any last words, Dr. Picard?
Yes. Just thanks and love your inner child. Yeah, it's been a good session. Everybody deserves to heal. My last word is that no wound is too old or too ugly to heal. I'll see you next month.